Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth, with the sole purpose of advancing and enhancing the lives of women. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, listeners. Good evening. I am Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
You are listening to Living by Design. Good evening, everyone. I am so excited. I have to tell you guys, I am still celebrating, okay? I am still celebrating from last week. It's not over. I probably will never stop celebrating. I am so excited. Probably are too. So how are you doing this evening, Tony?
I'm doing good, and I understand about the celebration aspect,
yes.
From last week. Last Tuesday, as a matter of fact. But say it again.
I said absolutely. It's wonderful.
Yeah, folks are, still pinching themselves and still saying things like, did it really happen? So, yeah, definitely.
I'm saying that too, but it did really happen. And every time I wonder if it did really happen, I go back and look at my, I T-voted because I wanted to make sure that I was able to see it over and over and over and over again. Well, Tony, we have a very exciting show lineup tonight. I am excited about our guest, and I'm going to get to him shortly. I don't want to keep him waiting because I have a great discussion. But I just want to talk a little bit about next week's show topic and a couple of upcoming show topics. I want you single listeners to listen up, okay? Next week's show topic is for you. We're going to have love expert and media psychologist Dr. Diana Kirshner. And Dr. Diana is an expert in the topic of relationships and love. As a matter of fact, she's been quoted as the love and relationship doctor. And she has been on just about every TV show under the sun, the Today Show, Oprah, Good Morning America, Montel, Nightline, Access Hollywood, and the list is just too and finish all those. And she's also been quoted in many different publications, USA Today, New York Times, Time Magazine, the LA Times, Cosmopolitan, People Magazine, and just a wonderful person. She has a bestseller book entitled Love in 90 Days, The Essential Guide to Finding Your Own True Love, and it covers all the powerful techniques that help women. Actually, she focuses on women. But I think that her information that she'll be talking to us about next week will be able to cross over into both genders, men and women. Very, very excited about that show. And the following week, I just want to talk a little bit about that show because I was inspired actually by Tony Lamont. And for those of you who probably are unaware, Tony has a radio show with WTLC out of Indianapolis. It's Radio 1. It's Radio 1, Tony?
Yes, it is.
Radio 1 affiliate, WTLC out of Indianapolis. And if you ever want to listen to Tony, they stream across the Internet. Go to www.wtlc.com and listen to Tony from 10 a.m. Eastern to 3 p.m. But Tony had a segment on his show today, and it was absolutely fabulous, and I'm going to do something very, very similar. And what he called it was Let Him Go Wednesday. And Tony allowed women to call in and purge their pent-up emotions. Tony was acting as a surrogate, and he allowed women to call up and use him, pretend that he was the guy that they had been wronged. Maybe, Tony, I should let you explain it, because since it was your segment, you can explain how it worked.
Well, actually, yeah, I mean, you explained it very well. The way that it happened, this was actually something I did several years ago when I decided that I didn't want to be the kind of man that I used to be. And being the spiritual man that I am, I asked God to give me the guidance to, or give me an answer on how I could be a better man. And what answer came to me was I needed to apologize and needed to go to the women that I had wronged in my life and in those past relationships and give them an opportunity to say what they had to say to me and apologize to them for being that pain. And what I found is a lot of those women were holding on to that pain that I had caused them. Well, a lot of times women don't have an opportunity to say that to those guys because those guys aren't those kinds of men. So what I found, and it was kind of brought to my attention and brought back up for me, a friend of mine who's a pastor at one of the local churches here had a workshop, and that's what they did. And he had asked me to be a surrogate and actually stand in for those men that had wronged these women. And I wasn't able to make it because of another event I had to do. But I said, you know what? It'll be a great show topic. I know when I did it, what it did for me, and I know what it did for those women. So let me go ahead and open up the phones. And what I did was it gave them an opportunity to talk to me as though I was that man. And I had women that were, you know, saying things like, I hope you go to Hades and I can't stand you, to a woman who had actually said that she had spent 2 years in prison because of what that man had done to her, and it's time for her to let go. She's been afraid of him and been in an abusive situation, but she knew that saying that. Excuse me?
I said, yes, I heard the show. I heard.
Right. And so doing that gave those women an opportunity to just release and let go, which was important to them because a lot of them hadn't had an opportunity to do that.
And so on December the 3rd, we're going to do something very similar to that. And I haven't decided what I'm going to name the show, but the point is I want every caller to have an opportunity. Tony is going to sit in and be the surrogate guy for women that need to call in and purge it and say to Tony what they need to say to that man. And I'm going to be the surrogate woman for men that need to call in and say to that female what he hasn't been able to say. So I want you guys to think about that and be prepared for that, because that's going to be a very powerful show. It's really important for us to get those negative, toxic emotions out, because when we allow them to accumulate and build up in there, it can wreak havoc on our lives. Our guest, when he comes on the line, I know he's going to say something about that because he is a brilliant. I didn't call his company the Brilliance Institute for tell you. So with that, we do have an outstanding guest and an outstanding show. And I just want to tell a real quick story. Simon, I know you're probably listening. I'm going to come to you in a second, but I have just got to tell this story about how I came to learn about you. A colleague of mine handed me a book one day and said, read this. I have a lot in common with the author. And it was Simon's book, Release Your Brilliance. People, I couldn't put it down. I started reading that book, and I tell you, it really resonated with me. Something in me just, it was like a period at the end of a sentence, for lack of a better description. And then I looked at Simon's video, and I saw in the video he made a comment about when you find your purpose and you start doing your purpose, the universe will start sending people to you to help you. And that just really, I got chill bumps when I saw that. And, you know, this is a fabulous guy. So wonderful. And I'm going to go ahead and bring Simon T. Bailey on the line. Simon, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you, dear?
I'm doing awesome. Outstanding.
Good. Glad to hear it. Tony Lamont's our co-host this evening. And
hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm fine, Simon. How are you?
Great.
Good.
I am really excited to have you on the show with us, and thank you so much for accommodating the schedule, because I started emailing you not too long ago, and you were very gracious in schedule, so I really.
Well, Kathy, you are awesome, and it's a pleasure to be here tonight and to join you.
Thank you so much. Now, Simon, I I want to give you an opportunity to just talk a little bit about your Brilliance Institute and some of the work you've done. And I want to start off with a very important question for our discussion. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about your Brilliance Institute?
Sure. Just to give a little background, I worked in corporate America for 20 years, and my last 7 years was spent at the happiest place in the world, and that being the Walt Disney World Resort, and walked away from my job about 5.5 years ago after answering three questions. Question number one, what would I do if I knew I couldn't fail? What would I do if no one paid me to do it? And what makes me come alive? That third question came out of a book that I was reading at the time, written by John Etheridge. And in his book, Wild at Heart, he says, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. And when I begin to answer those three questions, I realize that there are a number of people in the world who work hard enough to keep a job and do just enough to keep from getting fired. The lights are on, but nobody's at home in their mind. They're kind of what many would call dead people working. And so I put together the Brilliance Institute 5.5 years ago to work with individuals and organizations teaching this whole concept of brilliance. And I'm based in Orlando, Florida, and I travel around the world from South Africa to Singapore to Dubai and all over the United States, East Coast to West Coast, North and South, teaching people how to release their brilliance from the inside out. Next year, we will be hosting a conference, and we'll definitely get the information to you, where I'm going to bring people and begin to walk them through the process. I didn't just want to jump out and start doing something, but I really feel that we've got some research, we've got some case studies, we have some examples of people who have released their brilliance, and I'll walk people through the methodology and the process of how to do it. And so that's what we do. We provide corporate seminars. I do a lot of individual coaching, one-on-one. I've created a whole brilliant mentoring program where I take people through my whole curriculum of understanding how to really live from the inside out.
That's fantastic.
Go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to say that's fantastic, Simon. And what do you find is one of the biggest challenges in getting people to start that brilliant thought process? Because so often we're conditioned to think a particular way or be a particular way and to change that way of thinking.
Sure. What blocks brilliance many times is the surroundings or the environment that people are in. People are like elevators. They take you up and they take you down. And whoever is in your sphere of influence influences who you become, how you think, and how you show up. So really, I invite people to do a relationship audit to really understand whoever has your ear has your life. So who are those that are speaking into your life, because it's creating the outcomes that you have. Another point is many times an individual's language, and you can tell a lot about a person how they talk about themselves. I was speaking with a person not too long ago, and they continued to make a statement, I'm not good enough, or I never get this, it never works out. And the more and more they continue to speak those things, words literally go into the future and they wait for you to show up. And when you show up into the future, you call it today, and the words that you have spoken yesterday meet you and says, welcome, we've been waiting for you. So it's really helping people to think about when they change their language, they change their life. And probably the third thing that really blocks brilliance is when we were matriculating through school, we were always upgrading from kindergarten to first grade, and then from elementary school to middle school to high school to college, and on and on. What happens many times with people is they have stopped learning and stopped growing, so their knowledge and information has really plateaued. And what happens is, in times of change, the learners will inherit the earth, while the learned will find themselves beautifully equipped to live in a world that no longer exists. So one of the things individuals really have to do if they're going to release their brilliance is to really think about how do they continue to learn and grow and be all that they can be.
outstanding. And Tony, that actually kind of what I was going to ask Simon. I'm not sure why this is, Simon, and maybe you can help me understand as well as our listeners.
Mm.
People tend to connect their self-worth to their possession.
Say that again. They connect their self-worth to
their accomplishments and their possessions. For instance, if they haven't been successful at a task,
right.
Let's say motherhood, fatherhood, or if they've gotten laid off from their job, or their finances are in a mess, or, you know, whatever the case may be, or they failed at a project or anything,
mm-hmm.
they tend to associate that with their self-worth and their self-esteem, tangible things. They
mm-hmm.
take tangible things and attach it to whether or not they're worthy.
Mm.
And I know it really does affect how people look at their brilliance. I mean, they can't really see any brilliance mm. because they are so busy focused on those things. Can you talk to that?
Yeah, sure. One of the things, Tony and Kathy, people have to realize is that what they do is not who they are. And a name on a business card, a title, a position confines you and limits you. It doesn't unleash you. And when people reduce themselves to outside things to fill their tank, what happens is they focus on increasing their net worth instead of their self-worth. So when the rug is pulled from under their feet and their world comes crashing down, they are not able to bounce back up because they have become the job. They have become the company. They have become things. So what's happening is they are living from the outside in instead of from the inside out. Now, another thing to consider, a lot of time what drives that is if an individual has been raised in an environment where they did not have a lot of things given to them. So the first time they really start to make some real money, start to accomplish, they really start to consume things and start to take invest in labels and put labels on their back, on their feet, on their hands. And there's nothing wrong with labels. Obviously, luxury items definitely have a place. But when things have you, those things begin to put your potential and your genius in a straitjacket, because when you can't get those things and you realize that those things can't really satisfy a deeper need, then what happens is your brilliance is blocked. So then the question is, how do people get out of that? Well, it's realizing that when they begin to increase their self-worth. And how you increase your self-worth is really thinking about what makes you unique, what makes you special. All of the things, Kathy and Tony, that I know that you have talked to your listeners about, when you begin to shift your focus, then you begin to really understand that you can have things instead of things having you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was speaking to a – I was just going to say, Kathy, I was speaking to a colleague of mine today about that exact thing, because they I called him a sorrow soldier, and I called him a sorrow soldier because all they could think about were the things that they aren't doing, the things that they haven't done. Are they their expectations of things that they were going to face were surrounded by sorrow? And I explained to them the bottom line is, if you're constantly thinking about the things that you want to do and they have expectations of sorrow, then what do you expect to have? If your happiness is built in sorrow, then that's what is going to happen for you. So we have to get out of this, and Kathy knows I call it stinking thinking. But, you know, get out of the stinking thinking attitude of life and understand that, as you said, you have to start living from the inside out versus the outside in.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you realize is when you adopt that thinking, you realize that you can rid yourself of the head trash, and also you can begin to shift your focus and really lock in on what really matters the most at the end of the day.
And you are so right, and I absolutely love every. The one
Kathy,
thing
I think
that
I'm...
I.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I was going to say I'm getting like every other word you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that better now?
There you go. Yeah, that's better.
Okay. One thing I wanted to add is that you're absolutely right when you talk about things and tangible things, but what about life experiences? Sometimes when you continually have unfortunate, negative, sad life experiences, disappointments, you know, one failed relationship right after the other, and then people start to also associate their self-worth with those types of situations.
Mm-hmm.
So it does the same rule apply, or what would you say about that?
A couple of things to think about. When people go from failed relationship to failed relationship, there is something that they must examine within themselves to say, why am I attracting dysfunction into my life? What is at the root of my life that continues to bring these types of relationships along my path that lead me down or lead me into a negative zone? So there's really something that people have to examine within themselves, because here's the deal. Whatever you don't deal with will eventually deal with you. Okay? And until you begin to put your truth on the table, face the music, and really deal with your unfinished business, you will continue to vibrate into the universe those that come to you to keep you bound. But when you make a decision and put your foot down and say enough is enough, and not just in words, but really making a heart, here's what happens. When you make a decision that you're going to shift from the negative zone, you will experience an internal alignment where your head, your heart, and your hands will be in lockstep with the decision that you have made, thus your feet will follow. But what happens many times, there is a disconnection, and it's what Rabbi Harold Kushner calls emotional incongruence, where there is a split in your soul. And when there is a split in your soul, what happens, what you vibrate out into the universe are those things that are negative in nature, and thus there is a disconnect between your head, your heart, and your hands. Your head wants to go one way, but your heart still has the residue left over from the previous relationship, and all of a sudden a person shows up, and then your hands and your feet go in a direction you didn't want to go because there was no internal congruency. So it's really dealing with the unfinished business, putting truth on the table, and really making a decision to get to the root of what the issue is.
And I understand and I totally agree, but and I don't mean to, you know, keep on staying on this, but what if it's a really good-hearted person, a very good-hearted person, you know, they're really wonderful and kind? How do they find the strength to do those things? How do they find the strength to dig down deep when they've just been beat down so much with so many negative situations in their life, and, you know, it's just really hard to pull the strength when you have no strength? Where do you get the strength from?
Well, I think you have already articulated, and you've written it in your article, is that they need to forgive themselves. They need to forgive themselves for what has happened in the past, and they need to move past their past by truly letting go. Let's give a couple of practical things that people can do. And I think Tony used a brilliant example, you know, at the beginning when he was talking about, you know, kind of being a stand-in and allowing people to process. Another thing that I've encouraged and coached people to do is to write a letter. Write a letter about everything that has worked against them and just all of the pent-up emotion that perhaps they may not be able to articulate to a person. Get it all down on paper. And after you get it down on paper, I want you to come to a place of just quietness in the privacy of your home, and take a lighter and take the letter and burn it and say, the moment this letter is disintegrated, this letter is burnt, I am letting go of what has been holding me and keeping me captive. That's one thing. Another thing that I've seen some people do is they will talk to their pastor. They will talk to that person who is a spiritual mentor, obviously a person that's been there and done that. Obviously, you can't connect with someone who has not been there, because a person can never take you to a place that they have not been themselves. So it's really connecting with that person and beginning to process just where they are and really talking it through. But then even the final thing, and really the most important thing, is just saying, Father, I give this and I release this to you. And every negative attachment that I have to what has been happening, and I'm talking about a person that's a good person, a good soul, but they continue to repeat behaviors, and it's really saying that I am going to commit and really allow this thing to move out of my life. And then whenever the relationship or whatever continues to trip them up comes up, they say, you know what, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I'm going to do the opposite behavior. I'm going to move in another direction. I'm not going to walk back into that thing that continues to be my downfall.
And you know, I have talked to a lot of different people, and I come across so many people that can purge their toxic emotions, but struggle with it so much. And, you know, I find that amazing that, you know, some people are able to just really dig in there and do that, and then some just, you know, they seem to make progress, and then one situation happens and it just knocks them back four or five steps.
And Kathy, that's when individuals really, really have to look within themselves and say, what is the deeper root? Where is this really coming from? Sometimes things are generational. And I'll never forget, a few years ago, I was talking with my older brother, and he had asked me if I was experiencing a specific thing. And I said to him, I said, yeah, I have. And he says, well, I have too. And then we checked with our other brother. He had too. He did as well. And then we talked to our father, and we said, hey, Dad, you know, here's kind of like where we are. And then our dad started to open up and share with us what he had gone through as a young man. And then when we did the deeper research, it went all the way back to my father's father. And so there are some things that are generational that we really, really have to begin to analyze and say, okay, if this is something that continues to come up, it's deeper, which means, let me put it to you this way, a setback is a setup for a comeback. So once we recognize what continues to set us back, we still have to dig deeper and say, I'm coming back. I'm going to get out of this. This is not going to get the best of me. And eventually they will come to a place where they have been truly delivered and they truly overcome whatever that is that continues to attack them.
I did a show Go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to say, and Simon, Kathy and I always say this to the folks that we speak to, and I started saying it a long, long time ago, but it just speaks to the fact that the ultimate definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. And right. even for oneself, it's very simple. If you keep doing the same thing and you keep getting the same results within yourself, and you keep asking yourself, what am I doing wrong or what's going on, and you don't see it, eventually, if you have some kind of clarity at all in your body or in your spirit, you're going to say, okay, I've got to do it differently.
Absolutely.
Tony, I've actually, you know, and again, I don't mean to, you know, disrespect, but I have come across a lot of clients that, now they tell me, and I don't know how true it is, but they tell me they are doing it differently, but they are getting the same results. So I can't really speak to that, but, you know, that is one of the things. Going on there. But one thing I wanted to comment about is that I did a show not too long ago on self-esteem. And I was explaining to the listeners that self-esteem and self-confidence are not the same thing, because I think sometimes people get self-esteem and self-confidence a little confused. I mean, they are similar. They are so closely related, but they are different, because self-confidence comes from succeeding at a task. And self-esteem, on the other hand, is just knowing that you're okay, irregardless of what you've already done.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what you're done. You're totally fine, you know, before you do anything.
Right.
You're fine as an imperfect but changing and growing worthwhile human being. So, and I do believe that our past, what we experience in our childhood, throughout our young adult lives and in our lives, it is what shapes our core beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And when our core
mm-hmm.
beliefs are negative, and when our core beliefs are things that are just our opinions, because they're not facts, they're just opinions of what we think about ourselves.
Mm.
You know, and I told the story about, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I told the story about when I was a child, my family is, you know, African-American community, they have the light-skin, dark-skin thing.
Mm-hmm.
Family called me lots of different names about my skin complexion, and they made me feel like that I was extremely dark complexion and unattractive.
Wow.
And I told that story, and I grew up for a long time, Simon. That was my core belief, because that's what my family...
Wow.
And until I could understand, once I became an adult, I mean, I had that core belief for a long time. I became an adult, and I realized that I had to take control and change that core belief.
Mm.
Daily affirmations, you know, repeating to myself, looking in the mirror, telling myself things daily, it really helped to, you know, try to change my subconscious and what those core beliefs were.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's extremely important about how those core beliefs can really affect your life. Now, and I know one of the things I've learned and I teach on is how our core beliefs create our thoughts.
Sure.
Create our behaviors and our actions. So, and I know you talk about that quite a bit in some of your work. So can you give us your thoughts, opinion about that?
Yeah, one of the things that I've realized just in my own personal journey, 20-plus years ago, my parents dropped me off at Morehouse College, and at the end of my freshman year, they called and said, we don't really have the money to send you back to Morehouse, nor do we have the money to bring you back home to Buffalo. So needless to say, I was stuck in the ATL, and it's probably one of the lowest points in my life. I ended up moving into a drug-infested community, only had a mattress on the floor, bright green beanbag from the 70s, a couple of milk crates turned over with a black and white TV on top of it, with a hanger hanging out of the back of the TV with a piece of aluminum foil wrapped around the hanger. I trust everyone has a visual thus far. And it was a very low point in my life, because my entire world had been built up on I was going to be a Morehouse man. And when that dream seemed to crash, so did I crash. And what I realized is I could become the situation that I was in and could become what the drug-infested community was doing to me, or I could shift my beliefs. And what I realized when I began to shift my belief in myself, then my behavior changed, thus it impacted my results. But what's interesting, many times, if you've ever been, you ever walk into a smoke-filled ballroom, and you may not smoke, but you walk into the smoke-filled ballroom, and then you leave the ballroom, and then you go outside, but you still smell like smoke. And
yeah.
So there was something that happened in the ballroom. The smoke began to seep into your clothes. Thus, you got to go and get your clothes clean and all that good stuff, get smoke out. Here's the point, though. Many times we can go into an environment and something seeps into our spirit that causes our beliefs to be stifled. And if we don't get a hold of what has seeped into our spirit, we will never be able to change our behavior or really get the results that we want. So we have to really be mindful of how our beliefs downloaded into our hard drive, and how do we begin to open those file folders and begin to find those belief systems that have been saved to our hard drive that no longer serve us, and begin to delete them out of our system so that we might operate at the optimum level.
I like the technology analogy. It works very well and very timely. And Kathy and I have had this discussion many times about, and you called it the heart drive. We talked about how the subconscious works, and how I used to always say, well, those things, because the subconscious is your life's memory, and you carry that, and you think, I thought for so long that you could not change the subconscious. Well, you can change the subconscious and how you act to those things that are in your subconscious. And Kathy really helped me from her life coaching side by giving me that information. I mean, I've been a motivational speaker going on 15 to 20 years now, and I kept saying, well, you know, this is what the subconscious does. So that speaks exactly to that, because so many people hold on to that thought that this is how things are. And this is how they're going to be, and this is how they have to be. Well, the truth is, they only have to be as long as you want them to be, and as soon as you change those things, or the way that you respond or react to those things will change within you.
True. Guys, I want to just make sure that the dial-in people that are listening, I don't want to make their questions. So, I'm going to go to area code 614. Do you have a question, or are you just listening?
Hey, Kathy, this is Howell again. I'm listening, sweetie.
You're just listening. Okay, dear, I just wanted to be sure. All right,
okay.
I'll mute you
all
back.
Right. Thank you.
But, yeah, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we have a chat room set up, but we have a chat
room. Oh, awesome.
Callers that call in and listening to the show, but let me just kind of switch gears a little bit here and ask you about people think Christianity and spirituality are the same. and I know that spirituality is what I view it as. My opinion of spirituality is to connect with a higher power to try to bring out your brilliance, as you have talked so much about in your book. So talk about your opinion of the differences of the two, because I think Christianity and religion are the same. Reality is a little bit more than that.
So Christian or Christendom, when we say we are Christian, we are saying that we are follower of the teachings of Christ, the Anointed One. And under Christendom, there is the Protestant faith, there's the Catholic faith, there's evangelicals, charismatic, and the list goes on. So Christian, being a Christian or Christendom, that is a religion, certainly here in the United States. And in some circles, when you do even the deeper research, Christians are a minority faith in the United States of America. Now, spirituality is a state of being. We are made, you know, in the Bible it says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we talk about spirituality, that simply is saying that understanding that I am a spiritual being having a human experience. When I understand that I am a spirit being, spirituality takes on the context of many different things, because some people adhere to Eastern religion. Some people sit and cross their legs and hum. You know, there are different faiths out there that call themselves meeting spiritual needs, but it's definitely a definite distinction between being a Christian follower of Christ and then just saying that I'm spiritual, because saying that you're spiritual is really it's very popular nowadays. There's a lot of people who say I'm on a spiritual journey, and sometimes that spiritual journey can be getting on your bicycle on Sunday morning and riding out to the countryside to be one with the universe, and people feel that that is very spiritual. But for those who name the name of Christ, for them, how they live out their spirituality is going to a house of worship and really cultivating a relationship with God and certainly adhering to the teachings of Christ. So there is definitely a distinction there.
In respect to changing your how we structure the way we
Kathy, I'm getting every other word you're saying.
Sorry, I have a headset on and
I think that's it's like I'm getting like every other word you're saying.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that's better.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, because, Tony, if it's really bad, what I might have to do is take the headset off and dial in with a different line.
I understand.
Is it bad?
Go ahead, Kathy. I can hear you. Keep going.
Okay, all right. Well, what I was going to say is in relation to changing our thoughts and our core beliefs. One of the things that I like to do is I use positive affirmations. And I know that there are lots of other methods of being able to change your thoughts. And you know what? I'm getting some comments in the chat room saying that they hear me breaking up too. So, Tony, I'm going to ask you to, you know where I'm going with that, the affirmations and how to change your positive thoughts. So could you please go ahead and continue that question. I'm going to change phones and dial in with a different number.
Absolutely. And Simon, if I could just continue the question, because I know from the standpoint of changing your thought process and getting your, for lack of a better term, getting your mind right and your spirit right, what are some of the things that you suggest? Because I know Kathy said that she has things that she writes down and she posts them up. Some people repeat things over and over again to themselves. There are all kinds of methods. What are some of the methods and some of the ways that you would suggest that people start on that road, get things started that way?
Sure. Well, if we were to take things back to a scriptural foundation, in the New Testament, it just distinctly says, "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And if we think about that in the context of our present-day world, people learn at different levels. And sometimes in life we learn, we have to unlearn, and we have to relearn. So some of the things people can do if they want to change their thought process is they have to change the pictures that are before them, because the pictures that stay in your mind will happen in time. What are the photographs, both mental photographs, that are before you? Because your mind is like a movie screen. So what images or pictures do you need to change? That's one way to renew your mind or to change your life or to transform the results that you are currently getting. Another thing, definitely affirmations. I've written a couple of books on meditating, and one of the things I teach is the whole affirming, because death and life is in the power of the tongue, and words really carry your energy, and when they are released out of your mouth, they go into the universe to begin to rearrange and reorient situations and circumstances on your behalf because of the spoken word. So So we understand people might be visual learners. They might be auditory learners. So sometimes you need to say it so that you hear it in your spirit. Another thing people need to consider doing, if they're a hands-on learner, what are some things that they can begin to do with their hands? And for me, I'm a hands-on learner. So one of the things I had to do is I had to, 2 weeks ago, I was just cluttered in my mind, and I needed to get uncluttered. And part of why I was cluttered is when I came into my office was cluttered. So cluttered desk, cluttered mind. So what I had to do is I started to purge the office, threw things away, went out, bought a bookcase, put books up, got things off the floor. So now when I come into my office, I have clear space because all of those things that were lying around, I put my hand to it and I discarded it, filed it away. And for me, that was a sense of getting unstuck.
That is
gotcha.
Very, very interesting. Very. Don't you find that interesting, Tony?
Oh, absolutely. I really do.
Can you hear me better now?
Both.
Absolutely,
perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And I'm laughing because I, you know, Simon, I have that clutter problem, and it falls in line with those learned behaviors because I was raised by my mom, who was an artist and who was a tailor and all these other things that she did. And I grew up around clutter, and coincidentally, I'm a cluttered person. And so I grew up around it. I am that. And that's one of my challenges. And I'm glad to hear you say that. And you gave that example because it has put a fire underneath me that if I need to get some cluttered things out of my life, I need to get the cluttered things out of my house. So thank you for that.
Yes, absolutely. Now, okay, now I have to ask you this, Simon. I mean, I know I've said it previously, so I don't want to beat this in the ground, but, I mean, you are a dynamic speaker. I looked
Bless
at
you.
Some of your...
So kind. Thank you.
I looked at some of your videos, and, I mean, I was just in awe. But you made a statement in one of your videos, and I may not say it word for word, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You said something about when you figure out what it is that you're supposed to be doing, your purpose in life, that people will start, the universe will start sending those people to you to help you. I love that so much. I really want you to talk about that. Please talk more about that, because when you moved on to something else, I was like, no, I want to hear more about that.
One of the things that I put in the book, Release Your Brilliance, and when I wrote the book, I really was processing my journey of just feeling stuck, feeling as if I had missed out on just life in and of itself. And when I came to a place of clarity and really began to answer the three questions, what would I do if I knew I couldn't fail? What would I do if no one paid me to do it? And what makes me come alive? One of the quotes that I came across that so blessed me and so changed my life, and this really ties to the power of words, it's a quote by W.N. Murray, who wrote the book, The Scottish Himalayan Expedition. And in the book he says, the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would otherwise never have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents, meetings, and material assistance which no man could have dreamed would have come his way. Now, that's a very intellectual way of saying it, but let me put it in my vernacular. When you begin to come to a place of clarity, all of a sudden, the universe begins to bend in your direction and begins to divinely arrange appointments for you. So when you show up, it becomes a moment of serendipity, a happy accident. You bump into something because you stop trying to make something happen and you let it go and begin to act as if it's so. And when you begin to act as if it's so, you begin to vibrate into the universe. Who are the individuals that you need to connect with? And literally, I might go left coast on you just for a moment, but it's almost like a radio frequency. When you begin to tune into your inherent purpose, you begin to tune into people that are supposed to connect to your destiny. And you begin to tune out people who no longer support where you're going. Because there are people that come in your life and people that come through your life. And you have to recognize who are the people that have come in. Why have they shown up at this season? It's because they've tuned into your frequency. And they are supposed to provide the answer or ask you a question that moves you down the path towards your greater purpose.
That's powerful.
Absolutely.
And I love that. And on the other side of the coin, when you realize your purpose and you start living your life purpose, and I tell you, Tony will tell you, because Tony is you know, he's a mentor and a great friend, and he will tell you that I have been wanting to do this for quite a long time, and I was in corporate America, you know, similar to your story, Simon. I was in corporate America. I was in the technology industry.
Mm-hmm.
And technology just really wasn't my thing. It wasn't my thing. I've always had this strong desire to help people. Even when I was younger, as a child, you know, my family would say, well, she's the family therapist. She's the family counselor. If you have a problem, take it to her. So I've always had that desire. And when I decided that I was going to do this, I made a promise to myself. I have one more year to go in corporate America, and then I'm done.
Hmm.
And a situation presented itself exactly 12 months to the date.
Hmm.
And it showed me that it was time to go. And it worked exactly in my favor. Exactly in my favor. Now,
let me say this, Kathy, because I'll try to say it quickly. Simon,
okay.
It speaks to exactly what you just said, how everything aligned, because Kathy has left out some things. One thing that I'll just say it this way, not only did a year to the day, but every aspect that she spoke that needed to be put in place for it to happen happened exactly like she spoke it a year earlier.
Yeah, it was almost scary. It was scary.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
But what I wanted to ask you, because we're running up on 8 minutes, and I knew this discussion would go pretty quickly. What about, because this has also happened not only to me but to quite a few of my clients that I talk to and my colleagues, when you do realize your life's purpose and you start living your life's purpose and you're absolutely just filled with joy and happiness knowing that you're doing what you're supposed to do, people start dropping out of your lives. And I don't understand that. I mean, friends that I have had for years, family members that I have known my entire life that I've been very close to, all of a sudden they just drop out because they decide they don't want to associate with me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there? I'm going to be honest, I'm human. I mean, we live in the flesh, and we strive to be better every day, but that really does bother me and some of the other people I've talked to. It's a difficult situation.
So when an airplane is on the runway and is about to take off, there are four laws that are at work, which you and Tony know: the law of lift, the law of drag, the law of gravity, and certainly the law of push. What happens is once you become airborne in your purpose, there are some people who can no longer survive at a higher altitude. So because they have not been built for the rare air that you are about to soar into, they begin to drop out of your life because they cannot handle where you're going. And sometimes it's not something that you have said. It's the nonverbal cues of what they sense in you, because there's been a shift that's happened from the inside out. And when that shift happens from the inside out, they realize that the conversation that used to take place on one level, the conversation has shifted to another level, and they are not equipped to go there because they are not as hungry as you. Thus, they will begin to kind of step aside, and really they should be stepping up, because you want to reach out and help them go to where you're going so that they can realize their destiny, their dreams, their purpose. But that really is a decision that they have to make. It's just because you've moved to a higher altitude and you didn't allow the law of drag or the force of drag to keep you bound.
Yeah, I you're right. You're absolutely right. And I know there are just, it's something that I'm working on, and it does affect me. It does affect my emotions, and it's a sad situation. But you know, Tony has been a great help to me on that, and you know, there's a friend in the chat room, actually, Marissa Moss. She's a wonderful friend. She has helped me with that tremendously. So I do have a wonderful support system, and it helps a lot to have that support system, because they believe in me. They support me,
right.
And you need
right.
that as you're trying to, you know, go along your journey toward greatness. So,
Kathy, let me just say this. Where you're going in the next 18 months, sometimes you have to walk alone to come into your greater purpose. Your purpose is like the chapters in a book. The deeper you get into the book, the more richer the chapters are. I would invite you to consider affirming to yourself that you are coming into a new season of relationships that are equipped to support you and not be threatened by you, so that you can become your big self. And all of the residue that has been deposited into you from the time you were 6 years of age, I believe within the next 18 months, the residue is going to begin to fall off, so that you can begin to move into your greater purpose, because you haven't even scratched the surface. This is just the tip of the iceberg. There are more books in you. There is a television show in you. There's a greater purpose and a greater destiny in you, but you have played small and have played down to the people that no longer serve your greater purpose. So you have to come to a place that you are ready to be big, and that you are ready for the bigger chapters to unfold, so that the microphone that has been deep in the belly of your soul, it can become a megaphone, and you can begin to broadcast and begin to touch countless millions of women who are waiting for you to show up. But they can't show up until you show up and you let go of those who try to keep your feet planted on the ground when you were called to soar.
Oh, goodness. Whew, that was powerful. That was powerful. Forgive me for that outburst, but that was so powerful. So, Simon, you're saying more than likely there probably will be maybe even a few more people that may drop out before this journey is where it's supposed to be.
And you have to be okay with that, because brilliance is not about what you get. It's about what you give. And giving is understanding how to give people the left hand of fellowship, inviting them to step, and it's okay. And you got to be okay with that, because you can't attract into your life the ones who are called to your life if you continue to play down instead of playing up to who you are meant to be.
Absolutely.
That's fabulous. That's absolutely fabulous. Tony, do you have any closing questions? Because we're coming up on 2 minutes. I just want to make sure that I get everything in that you want to say. And
No, I'm good. I absolutely agree so much, and I think more than anything else, I just want to make sure that Simon gives out and puts out the information so folks can find out more about his books or where they can get in contact with him and all of that.
Right, I was definitely going to get to that. I just wanted to make sure you didn't have another question or comment. I mean, everything that Simon has said, I am absolutely not surprised that you are just a dynamic speaker, and everything that you're saying is exactly what our listeners need to hear, because there are so many people out there that they do know what their purpose is, and they just need to take that step toward it and pull that strength from within to go for it. Just go for it. I went for it, and I so many things have happened in this last 12-month period when I made the choice, and everything has happened exactly the way it's supposed to, and it's just wonderful. So, Simon, I want to go ahead and give you this last minute. We have 1 minute to go, so if you could please give us your website information, your books, anything that you want to give us resources so that my listeners can get to you.
Sure. Everyone listening to me right now, hear me. Hear me very clearly. Everything you need to succeed is inside of you in the form of a seed, and that seed is called brilliance. It's time for your brilliance to emerge. So no matter what's happening in our economy, losers look at what they're going through while champions look at what they're going to. And when you grasp that, go to my website, simontbailey.com, www.simontbailey.com. All my information is there. Go to amazon.com, Release Your Brilliance. My book is listed there. And also you can go to releaseyourbrilliance.com. There are a number of free tools and resources that you can download and continue to go through this process, because brilliance is a process, not just an event. Brilliance is a marathon, not a sprint.
And I'm putting all this information into the chat room, the websites that you gave, your book name, and everything. So, oh, my goodness, you are fabulous. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. And we're going to sign off for now. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony DeMont.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Good night.